The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After the audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening to everybody. Probably everybody in the church knows people that you would call searchers. Maybe some of the people in the church are searchers, I don't know. What is a searcher? A searcher are people who are legitimately questioning. You might be a Catholic and be a searcher, kind of questioning, is this really the right faith? Do I really believe this? And in a certain sense, I think all of us, when we become adults, have to at least, or when we start maturing intellectually, we need to start asking the big questions. It's not necessarily a bad thing to question, not to doubt, but to question our faith, to try to understand our faith. I think today, as being the Feast of the Epiphany, which is the Feast of the Three Kings, we can call these three kings, or three magi rather, the first Christian searchers, because frankly, Jesus was just born, so there wasn't much time for other Christians to be around, and these guys were searching. So therefore, they are the first Christian searchers. And this is full disclosure here. I stole a lot of this homily from Pope Francis, and he did a better job than I did, but you know what? Props, when you read a good homily, you gotta give the guy his due honor, okay? So Pope Francis made a couple of points that I thought were very relevant. The Magi teach all of us how to truly encounter Christ. First of all, the Magi were pagans. They were people, they were not Jews, they came from some faraway land, and somehow or other, through their astrology, they ascertained a king has been born. And not only just has a king been born, but this king, they must have ascertained that this king had some sort of salvific something about him. Because, frankly speaking, there were plenty of kings. There were plenty of kingdoms and plenty of kings, and I'm sure they didn't go traipsing across the country every time they thought a king was born. "Hey, the king of Babylon was just born. Let's go in. I heard the party's going to be good." No. But something about this king, they must have, in their studies and in their discernment and in their legends and whatever, discerned that with this king came some form of salvation. And the first thing that we can learn from them is, where do we find Christ, or how do we find Christ? First of all, we need to be people who question. We need to be searchers. And here's the thing. If the Magi felt like they already had the answers to everything, they wouldn't have gone off on a journey. But the Magi were open-minded. They were seekers of truth. They knew. They had a kind of intellectual and, if you want, spiritual restlessness that told them there is something more out there. However good a life and however noble their lives were, and I think they must have been pretty noble people because they went on this journey. I mean, that shows this kind of a spiritual and intellectual depth. But however noble they were, however wise they were, they felt in their heart, there's something more. It's kind of like in the gospel when the rich young man comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, what do I need to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, you know, follow the commandments, you know, shall not kill, shall not steal, honor your father and mother. He says, Lord, I do all of those commandments. What more do I need? So the guy was following the rules, so to speak, but he realized there's more. And he also realized Jesus is the person who can give it to me. So I think these wise men were kind of like that rich young man that Jesus met later on in the gospel when he was out preaching. Well, what are the things then that can become, why is it that you and I are not all questioners? Why are we not all searching? And the reality is, I think most of us, we allow ourselves to become kind of spiritually sedated. Pope Francis refers to tranquilizers of the soul. And frankly, probably most of us fall into this. I've regularly fall into these things, okay? Well, what are some of the tranquilizers of the soul? It could be our prejudices. It could just be our routine, our apathy. It could be our fears. The idea that if I radically start seeking how to be a better person, if I radically start seeking how to become closer to God, maybe he's going to start asking me to make some changes that are going to be uncomfortable. And that can be scary. Why is it that there are so few saints in the world? So few saints in history? Because, frankly speaking, following Christ can be scary. When we tend, if we're not careful, and most of us aren't, we tend to focus on all the difficulty and all the perceived difficulty, and we take our eyes off of the prize. We tend to forget that all of these sacrifices, all these difficulties that being a faithful Catholic is going to involve, it is a path to joy. It is a path to fulfillment, to fullness. Christ doesn't want to take anything away from you. Christ wants us to be far happier, far better people, far more fulfilled, far more meaningful, leave a far bigger mark in history than you and I are willing. We're content with very little. Jesus looks at each one of us and he has great plans. Maybe not great plans in a worldly sense. We're not all going to be Elon Musk. We're not all going to be Julius Caesar or whatever. Michael Jordan, whatever the particular form of greatness. We're not all going to be that person. But Christ looks at each person in this church and says, I have called you for greatness. Greatness of love. Greatness of sanctity that is going to carry over into greatness in eternal life. How many of us are really interested in that? How many of us are restless in seeking that out? And how many of us, frankly, get into routine? Just kind of go through the motions. Don't worry, I'm one of you. I don't anticipate I'll be canonized anytime soon, you know. Maybe Father Thaddeus will, I don't know, he's a nice guy. But for the likes of you and me, these are the tranquilizers. Okay, the second thing that the Magi did was not only did they speculate, not only did they think great ideas, hey, here's a great thought, here's a wise thing, but they actually went on a journey. What does that mean? They got out when they, in their search for truth, they were willing to get out of their seats and get moving. And I think this is coupled with that first thing I just mentioned, this is really where the rubber hits the road. This is where we get scared. It's not so much a matter that you and I don't necessarily know what it takes to be holy a lot of the time, but it's the idea that, okay, am I willing to actually get on my feet and start taking the trip? Am I willing to put in the work? One way of looking at it is this. There are probably some of us who say a certain amount of prayers, we have devotions, you know, we can do spiritual reading, we can go to Mass, we can do these things. Does my prayer change the way I act? Do my children think that I'm a holy person? Or do they think I'm a nag? Do the people at work even recognize the fact that you're a Catholic? And not just because you have an Italian or Irish last name or something like that. Do they even recognize by any form of behavior or by the way you speak that you're a Catholic? Does being a Catholic somehow make you better? It should. It's not to go around and saying, I'm Catholic and you're not, I'm better than you. But the thing is if we're living our faith, if we're practicing our faith, it should change us. If we're truly praying, it should change us. It should lead to virtue. It should lead to effort. It should lead to a different kind of a life. And then finally, the wise men, by going on their journey, they do eventually, what do they do? They go on a journey in order to encounter Christ. And they go on this long trip, which involves all kinds of doubts, and the star disappears, and they go to the likes of King Herod, which is, frankly speaking, about like saying they went to Pol Pot, or, you know, Baby Doc Duvalier, one of these great heroes of history. Herod was not a real nice guy. In fact, we know the next chapter that he killed an entire village full of children because he didn't want the Christ to be born. So this is not a nice guy. But they go to him anyway because they're innocent and simple, I guess. And they go to Herod to say, hey, can you help us find where the King of the Jews is born? And Herod's like, King of the Jews? Right? King of the Jews? I should find out about this. But in the end, they find Jesus, and what do? They adore. These grown men that are clearly influential in their own way fall down in adoration. And in that adoration, they rejoice. You know, there's a scene in, of all movies, you know, you would not expect me to, in a homily, to pull out great theological insights from The Avengers. There are actually a couple scenes in The Avengers that were kind of apropos. One of them was just a funny scene. Captain America is there on the airplane and has nothing to do with the homily, but it was funny, so I'll throw it in. One of these superheroes, the lady, I forget what her name is, the red hair lady, she says, hey Cap, you know, I think I'd sit back on this one. You're basically, this guy you're about to fight, he's basically a god. He says, there's only one god, ma'am. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that. Classic line. No, but there was, and a few minutes later in the same movie, there was a scene where this god, Loki, who's supposed to be the brother of Thor, I guess, he's in front of an entire crowd, and he's telling everyone, kneel down in adoration. And he says, see how easy it is. It's like you were all made for this. You're all made to kneel before something. And the truth is, he's right. We just weren't made to kneel in front of him, okay? We were made for adoration. And frankly speaking, you all adore something. And if it's not Jesus, you will make up something else to adore. But everybody here adores something. Be your job, it could be your pleasure, it could be any number of things. We all will create a God to adore if we don't adore the true God. And when we go to heaven, what we will do is we will be in adoration. And for us, that may sound boring, and all that means is if it sounds boring to us, it just simply means we don't have a clue. Adoration is what we are made for. The Magi, when they fell in adoration, they encountered joy, they encountered peace, they encountered meaning, they encountered fulfillment, they encountered Christ. And if we want to be men and women who live lives that are different, that are peaceful, that are joyful, that irradiate that there's something different about us, then we need to be men and women who know how to adore the Lord. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.